When the war was over, my brother slipped in the house. He told me us was free and for me to come out with the rest. For sundown there wasn't one nigger left on the place.
Dora Franks and 4 million slaves were eventually freed. But finding freedom was a complex political, military, and social journey. Facing secession and war, President Abraham Lincoln used his inaugural address to restate his pledge not to interfere with existing slavery.
I have no purpose, directly or indirectly, to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists.
Unfortunately, the war came, and slavery became a volatile issue as large numbers of slaves escaped to freedom. In May 1861, General Benjamin Butler refused to return 3 escaped slaves to their master, claiming they were contrabands of war. The idea and the label became a popular theme. Congress formalized the idea of contrabands by passing the first act allowing slaves to be confiscated if used directly in the war effort. In late August, General John C. Fremont, beset by harsh guerrilla warfare in Missouri, issued orders putting the state under martial law and, among other things, setting free all slaves of Confederate sympathizers in Missouri. When Fremont refused a suggestion that he soften his edict, Lincoln ordered the general to rescind his orders. Lincoln hoped some form of gradual emancipation would keep Union support, especially among the critical border states, and provide freedom for slaves. But by spring 1862, Lincoln barely persuaded Congress to offer pecuniary aid to compensate slave owners who would free their slaves, an offer soundly rejected. In May, Lincoln furiously revoked the order of General David Hunter freeing the slaves in 3 Confederate states. But in doing so, Lincoln forewarned such a decision might become a necessity. Slaves continued their daring escapes on land, by sea, or even through Confederate lines as best they could. Ex-slave John Finley, interviewed years later, described the fears of the runaways.
One night, about 10 niggas run away. The next day, we in here is nothing. So I says to myself, the patterns don't catch them. Then I makes up my mind to go and I leaves with the chunk of meat and cornbread and I'm on my way, half scared to death.
There was much to fear. The patters or patrols were everywhere, but they could not stop the rush to freedom. General Grant wrote home about the use of contrabands, citing their usefulness and their military advantage.
I am using them as teamsters, hospital attendants, company cooks, and so forth, thus saving soldiers to carry the musket. I don't know what is to become of these poor people in the end, but it weakens the enemy to take them from them.
Of course, Union soldiers were not of one mind about the growing number of Negroes in their camps. Many Union soldiers longed to see the evil of slavery defeated, while others detested the race in any fight related to emancipation. Some escaped slaves were victims of abuse, deceit, and even rape, but still they came. By midsummer, confiscation policies faced clear opposition. In early July, Union General George McClellan bluntly gave Lincoln a note saying, in part, military power should not be allowed to interfere with the relations of servitude. After border states rejected his pleas for gradual emancipation, Lincoln became convinced that freeing the slaves in the rebel states was a military necessity. In July, the president informed his cabinet he was ready to issue an Emancipation Proclamation. But Secretary of State William Seward urged postponement until, he said, you can give it to the country, supported by military success. Ex-slave Mary Anderson tells of the celebrations as Yankee troops approached.
The monster said, "Men, women, and children, you are free. You are no longer my slaves. The Yankees will soon be here." Slaves were whooping and laughing and acting like crazy. They went to the ice house and got several barrels of brandy. We cooked, ate, drank, and played music.
Music became an important byproduct of finding freedom. Contrabands and black fugitives from the South took their unique songs with them. Musicians transcribed the songs, and hundreds of so-called contraband songs became popular between 1862 and 1865. Then, on September 17, 1862, came the terrible bloody Battle of Antietam, resulting in a rebel retreat. Sensing the time had come, Lincoln issued a preliminary Emancipation Proclamation shortly after Antietam. The proclamation became a bitter campaign issue in the elections of 1862, but Lincoln's Republican Party retained a legislative majority, and in November, Congress endorsed the Emancipation Proclamation. Lincoln's final Emancipation Proclamation freeing slaves in occupied territory was signed January 1, 1863. Groups gathered in so-called watch parties on the eve of January 1st, awaiting the first day of freedom. Throughout the land, the proclamation was read aloud at schools, churches, and military garrisons. Besieged with so-called colored volunteers, the War Department established a Bureau of Colored Troops, and by 1863, Union recruitment of black soldiers was in high gear. Free and contraband blacks from Kansas and South Carolina were the first to organize, quickly followed by Massachusetts, which organized its famous Colored 54th, one of the most famous black regiments in the war. Confederates reacted to the use of black Union soldiers with threats of execution and refusal to recognize blacks as official prisoners of war. Many blacks served with distinction. Charles Fleetwood was one of 14 African Americans who received the Congressional Medal of Honor for Valor during the American Civil War. The cause of emancipation was also propelled forward by strong voices like Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth. Douglass fiercely advocated emancipation, calling Southern slavery the very stomach of this rebellion. He worked tirelessly to recruit black soldiers, even recruiting his sons. Sojourner Truth had been a tireless spokeswoman of abolitionism, and during the Civil War, she worked for freedmen's hospitals and other relief associations. When Union General William T. Sherman captured Atlanta and moved south, thousands of slaves in Georgia and South Carolina were freed by military action and left plantations to follow Sherman's troops. To deal with the thousands of ex-slaves, Sherman, with blessings from Secretary of War Edwin Stanton, issued his controversial Special Field Order No. 15. This provided the ex-slaves with temporary possession of land along the coasts of Georgia and South Carolina. His orders also established schools and other services. The orders and many other freedom relief agencies became part of a long, agonizing debate over the treatment of the ex-slaves. Other Union victories followed Sherman's, and the war wound down in the month of April, 1865. In December, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution converted Lincoln's wartime proclamation into law. From brave and frightened runaways, from Union politicians and abolitionists, from desperate military need, and from impassioned appeals, the slaves had found freedom.